Well, good morning. Welcome to Hillary. Hillary's just moved to this area, sitting next to Jane, and good to have you with us in this area. I hope you settle in well. Also, welcome to Lloyd and Isabel Bennett, if you know them. Lloyd's probably here buying property. That's what he normally does, where I see him. So I don't know if that's the case, but some of you might know him from down the north side of Sydney, where he... What parish were you at? That the boroughs were at?
Avalon and Palm Beach.
Avalon and Palm Beach. Yeah. And so welcome today. It's always a bit scary when somebody says, well, Alan's going to explain... I think he said the Bible readings, Arthur might have said, and which I often do, but Pentecost, I'm more covering the historical. So I'm glad he said the historical, but I'll be mainly referring to that Leviticus reading, which may surprise you. And as we look at the background to Pentecost and then apply it to how it worked. So as we know, today is Pentecost Sunday. And whilst this is a special Sunday for every Christian and for every Christian denomination, Pentecostals, unsurprisingly, love to talk about Pentecost. In fact, we heard Vernon singing Hallelujah because he grew up in Pentecostal church. And a lot of the songs that we sang came out of the 70s and 80s scripture and song when the charismatic movement, Pentecostal movement, came. Whereas at the early service, we had hymns for the Australian hymn book and there was no life in them. It was a very different era prior to, I think, the main charismatic movements were the 60s and then they came the 70s and the 80s. But Pentecost is very important to Pentecostals. And yet what I've discovered is that when I ask Pentecostals what the term Pentecost means, they often don't know. I knew an AOG pastor, who now happens to be an ordinand in our diocese, who didn't know what Pentecost meant. Mind you, as a person who attends an Anglican church like you are today, I wonder if you know what the term Anglican means. You're probably old enough to know. But if you don't, then know that our problem is that many people do know what Anglican means in Australia. For when they hear the word Anglican, they think that the Anglican Church is a church for Anglo-Saxons only. Mind you, in the 70s it pretty well was, wasn't it? A lot of British people in the Anglican Church. So we went from Church of England to Anglican, but we didn't really gain anything. Now, whilst I might be a little bit embarrassed, so because I worked in a workforce with Yugoslavs and Greeks and the like, it was very hard to say I go to the Anglican Church, come along with me, because they'd say, well, I can't, I'm not English. So whilst I might be a little bit embarrassed by the fact that I am part of the Anglican Church, the term Pentecost is a very unimpressive word to use to name a denomination, because the term Pentecost means, and I'll ask the Pentecostal,
50.
Means 50. Does that surprise you?
We're
all 50. So Pentagon, Pentateuch, Pentecost. So this means that the actual term Pentecost has nothing really to do with the work of the Holy Spirit. Rather, it was the names that the Jews gave to a religious festival that was held each year 50 days after the first sheaf of the crops was harvested. Mind you, just in case you didn't realise this, the word Pentecost is not a Jewish word. Rather, it comes from the Greek language. In fact, the term Pentecost didn't make its way into the Jewish vocabulary until, I assume, Alexander the Great invaded Israel and made everyone speak Greek. I had a horrible dream this morning, woke me up at 3 o'clock. I think I was killing Alexander the Great and he wouldn't die. It was... So I didn't really get back to sleep. But what it means is when they came, the language did change, and that's why our Gospels are all written and our New Testament is totally written in the Greek language. But what it means is before the Greeks invaded Israel, the Jews had their own Hebrew names for their festivals. And so for the next few minutes, I'm going to focus on the Jewish names of the Jewish festivals that were held each year, but in 6 months of the year. So from spring through to summer. Of course, we're in the southern hemisphere, so our autumn through to winter, but spring through to summer.
The first of the Jewish festivals, as we heard in our reading from Leviticus, was called Pesach, which is what we call the Jewish Passover festival. Now, Pesach was held in Jerusalem each year on the 14th day of the month, so that God's people would remember how God had delivered his people from the Egyptians by striking down the firstborn males in Egypt. Now, if you haven't heard that before, you'd say, well, that doesn't sound something that we should celebrate. And yet what the Hebrews celebrated was the fact that when God struck down the firstborn males in Egypt, he passed over their homes. Why? Because they were each given the opportunity to obey God and have God pass over their homes. And so the Hebrews, or most of them, we can't assume all, the Hebrews chose to obey the command of God, and so they sprinkled some of the blood of the lamb, the Passover lamb, on the door frames of their houses. And it was this event, the death of the firstborn, that led to Pharaoh releasing the Hebrews from their slavery. It was a time of deliverance, and I'm in my quiet times, I've been reading about that this week. Now, the festival of the Passover was followed immediately, as we heard in the reading from Leviticus, by the festival of Matzah. Now, Matzah means flatbread, unleavened bread. We'd call it Lebanese bread. Now, the Jews celebrated the Matzah festival to remind them that when they left Egypt, they left in such a hurry that they didn't have enough time to let the bread rise before they baked it. And so to help them to remember how God had so decisively, almost instantaneously rescued his people, God commanded that once a year the Jews celebrate his deliverance by eating bread without leaven or without yeast for a period of 7 days following the Passover. Now, the next event that the Jews celebrated each year, as we heard in the reading from Leviticus, was the harvest festival called Shabbuth, which means in English weeks. Weeks as in 7 days equals 1 week. Now, the festival was called weeks, though, not a week. In fact, the term weeks stood for 7 weeks, as we heard in our reading from Leviticus. So 7 weeks of 7 days each, which adds up to 49 days. So not 50, 49 days. And that's what we read in our reading from Leviticus, verse 15. For here God commanded that his people count off 7 full weeks, or 49 days, to gather and to celebrate the harvest. Now, the harvest festival, as we read elsewhere in Exodus chapter 34, verse 22, began with the harvesting of the first fruits of the wheat harvest. Though by the time Jesus came around, it would have been the barley harvest. It changed. And I was thinking of that while I was read today, the Leviticus reading. What's it say there? You are to bring when the first of the grain. And maybe they hadn't even heard of barley, I don't know, or considered growing barley before they hit Israel. But certainly in the times of Jesus, this festival began when that first crop of grain, barley, was harvested. And the festival of weeks was to end at the festival of Asif, which means, and I'm quoting here from Exodus 34, verse 22 still, it ended at the festival of Asif, which means ingathering or harvest. Now, the festival of Asif was held on the 50th day after the first fruits of the harvest had been presented in Jerusalem. So the festival of weeks was held for 49 days, and then on the 50th day was held the festival of Asif. And so it was this festival, the festival of Asif, held at the end of the harvest and at the end of those 7 weeks, that later became known as the festival of Pentecost. Well, I hope I haven't confused you too much, for let me say it was very confusing for me to work out how the first festivals worked. In fact, I know that I've mucked this up in previous sermons before this, but I believe I have it in my head correctly now. I've looked at all the passages. Not such confidence from you. For it wasn't the festival of first fruits that became the festival of Pentecost, nor was it the festival of weeks that became the festival of first Pentecost. Rather, it was the festival held in Israel on the 50th day, known as Asith, that later became known as the festival of Pentecost. So in summary, what we've seen is that each year throughout spring and summer, the Jews of Jesus' day celebrated the Passover festival, followed immediately by the festival of unleavened bread. But they also celebrated the festival of weeks and festival of ingathering, which we know as the festival of Pentecost, around this same period of 6 months. So what was the purpose then of these four festivals? Well, the reason why God commanded that these festivals be celebrated each year, like we remember Anzac Day, to remember the sacrifices of those who gave their lives in service of our country. We remember Australia Day, to remember when the first fleet arrived. They're to remember things. And so these festivals were held each year so that God's people might remember how God had provided for them in the past, as in Egypt, in the present with a successful crop, but also to help them to look at how God would provide for them in the future. And we'll come back to this thought a little bit later. So let's now focus on the date on which the Jews celebrated the start of the harvest festival. It's a bit iffy, isn't it, to try to work out which day each year you're going to start harvesting, because the seasons change a bit. Whereas Passover was held on the 14th day of the first month. And so whilst the Bible separates in the Old Testament the festival of weeks from the festival of Passover, the start of the barley harvest pretty well coincided with the date of the Passover. So whilst they came together in Jerusalem, the barley crop was ripe for the harvest. And so because all the Jewish males had to gather into Jerusalem from all over Israel, it seems that it soon became common practice for the first fruits of the barley harvest to be presented in Jerusalem during the festival of unleavened bread. So during those 7 days when many people would have hung around to eat flat bread. In fact, both my commentators tend to think that the festival of weeks, so the coming of the first fruits, began being celebrated 2 days after the Passover. So Passover was the Friday, Saturday. Saturday was the Sabbath, and the second day was the Sunday. So if this is right, then what's it mean? Well, it means that the first fruits in Jesus' day were most likely offered up to God in Jerusalem when? On the same day that Jesus rose from the dead. Well, so what? I hear you say. Well, so what is that we already know that it was significant that Jesus was killed, the Lamb of God was killed on the same day that the Passover lambs were killed in preparation for the Passover, don't we? And it is significant because, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus is our Passover lamb who was sacrificed for us. For it is Jesus' blood that saves us from God's wrath. For through the blood of Jesus, God overlooks or passes over the sins that we have committed. He delivers us. So the fact that Jesus was killed on the very same day that the Passover lambs were killed is incredibly significant and no accident. But then is there any significance for us if Jesus rose from the dead on the same day on which the first fruits of the harvest were offered up to God in Jerusalem? Well, the Apostle Paul thinks there is. For listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. He writes, Christ indeed has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. See, we could almost, if it's correct, we would assume that Paul put together Easter Sunday was the same day that the first fruits were brought to Jerusalem. So what's he doing? He's linking Jesus' resurrection with the start of the harvest festival. So then we've got Passover. We've got the start of the Feast of Weeks with Jesus' resurrection. So when was Pentecost celebrated? Well, as we know, Pentecost was celebrated each year at the end of the harvest season. See where I've confused it before? I said it was the first fruits, Pentecost, but it's not. Pentecost comes after everything's been harvested. After all the wheat comes in, all the grain gets in and is gathered so that they can have a big party. And so the festival of Pentecost was a time for God's people to come together to celebrate the abundance of God's provision for them. For a successful harvest was the guarantee of God's provision for the year ahead. And so it's very fitting that as the Jews came together to celebrate God's provision for his people through the harvest in a material sense, that God chose this same day to send his Holy Spirit to his people. Why? Well, let's take a look at why. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we're sealed with a guarantee for our lives, for not only the year ahead, but for all eternity, aren't we? It's the sign and seal that we too will be raised. For the Holy Spirit is our guarantee that as God raised Jesus from the dead, so we who've received the Holy Spirit have been born again to eternal life, John chapter 3. And this means that in receiving the Holy Spirit, we are guaranteed that when Jesus returns to take us home, when Jesus returns, and we see it in Revelation, and I haven't got the quote in front of me, for to gather up the crops, the harvest, that we, like Jesus, will be raised from the dead to live with him forever. For as Paul wrote, and I quoted the first of this passage before, 1 Corinthians 15:20, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, so by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Christ the first fruits, then the rest of the crop is gathered up, is harvested and gathered. And so in a spiritual sense, the Festival of Weeks, or the Harvest Festival, which is the festival of 7 times 7, which, if you know anything about numbers, is one of God's numbers of perfection, so a perfection of time, 49, it is continuing this Harvest Festival. For we are in the period of human history, those 49 days, where God is harvesting people for his eternal kingdom. What did Jesus say about the kingdom of God? In John chapter 4, verse 35, he said, "The fields are ripe for the harvest." He is looking at the people. They are ready. The time has come for the harvest. And so the apostles, including the 120, as well as the 3,000 people who were added to the church on the day of Pentecost, as well as we ourselves and people throughout every generation and every country on earth, we who've received the gift of the Holy Spirit are part of that same harvest, that same 49 symbolic days, which began with Christ, the first fruit from the harvest. For Jesus was the first to be raised to eternal life. Now, 50 is a significant number, isn't it? 50 is the year of Jubilee. It's the time for cancelling all debts. It's the time for celebration. It's a time for a new start. And Pentecost picks up some of that aspect of that 50. The 50th day, which for Christians is the day, I believe, symbolically, when the harvest comes to an end. That's what it was in the festivals. The harvest comes to an end. The work is over. It's time to feast and celebrate. It's how we understand our lives, doesn't it? We are here to serve God, continuing to work and labour in the field until Jesus returns on that 50th day at the end of the harvest to gather in his harvest and to take his people home. But the day on which Jesus comes to gather us together, and so that will be the day on which Jesus comes to gather us together to take part in the great feast, the great heavenly feast. Well, let me summarise what we've looked at today. In spring each year in the Northern Hemisphere, the Jews celebrated the Passover to remind them how God had delivered them in the past from their slavery in Egypt. Next, they celebrated the Harvest Festival, or the Feast of Weeks, where they gave thanks to God for their lives in the present. And then at Pentecost, they came together to thank God for their guarantee for their future. They could rest. The harvest was in. Now they could rest and look forward to the year ahead with abundance, having experienced a successful crop. Likewise, on the same day that the Jews celebrate the Passover, Good Friday, we celebrate how God saved us from our slavery to sin and death. For Jesus' death brings us forgiveness, because through the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, God passes over our sins. And then on the same day that the Jews offer up the first fruits from their harvest, Easter Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, who is the first fruit from the harvest, whose resurrection from the dead ensures God's presence, God's provision for us now, that energizes our lives now, as Michael said to us in our last series. For the resurrection of Jesus is our guarantee of new life now, empowered by the Holy Spirit. On this, Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 11, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." And then he goes to talk about living in the Spirit. And aren't our lives more filled now because we've received the Holy Spirit? For through the Holy Spirit, God is always with us. We are never left alone without help or without hope. And that's something, and that's what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. Jesus rose from the dead. The first fruits of all who had fallen asleep had died. And then finally, on the same day that the Jews celebrate the end of the harvest, we celebrate God sending the Holy Spirit as our personal guarantee that in the future we will be raised from the dead on the last day. We will be ingathered by Jesus, so that Jesus will return, gather us up, gather the crop he has planted, and gather the crop that we have played a part in bringing about a harvest. For Pentecost is about the completion of the harvest, where we look forward to when Jesus returns and we're raised to a life eternal. We look forward to the promised rest and celebration that comes at that time. Well, that's all I want to say today. My hope is I haven't lost you. Joyce Webster, who's led KYB for years, said, got a lot to think about, and a lot of people thank me. Other people thank me. So you'll be somewhere in between those two. My hope is that as we celebrate this day, when God sent his Holy Spirit to dwell with his people, though, is that we realise how significant it was for God to choose this day, the day of Pentecost, to send the Holy Spirit. It's our spiritual story being played out through the festivals that God established. And that's one of the amazing things about God. For the more we study his word, the more we understand how Jesus has fulfilled the law and the prophets. And so in fulfilling the law and the prophets has also fulfilled the festivals that God established for his people. And I think probably more importantly, through this we begin to realise how very precious we are to God. For think about it. Way back in the times of Moses, say 1,500 years or so before Jesus was born, God was using the events of Israel's history, and God was using these yearly celebrations to point forwards to their fulfilment in Jesus. For through their annual crops, way back then, God was pointing his people towards his promise to provide for us, both on this earth, so that we could live by the Spirit, but also the Spirit being the seal and guarantee of our eternal life, so that we could know that we would be raised to life eternal. We do have a marvellous God, don't we? And we are so grateful that he has revealed himself in his word, in what Paul, Peter, Jesus and others called God's holy inspired word, the Old Testament scriptures. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the insights that we have gained today. For some of us, this may be new. Others, it might just be a reminder. But we thank you, Lord, that a day is coming, the 50th day, after the harvest is complete, when your Son will return to gather his crop. Help us to labour faithfully in your field. Bring forth a harvest in Kingcumber, Copacabana, Avoca, in the various places that we live, so that people may hear the wonderful message of your Son, repent and believe. We pray this in Jesus' name.